1,788,500. By one estimate, that is the number of decisions that the average person makes over the course of 70 years of life. Now you wonder, who comes up with these numbers and how do they come up with them? This is actually a fairly simple matter of math. By this one survey, 70 conscious decisions is about the number of decisions that a person makes in one day's time. So if we make around 70 decisions a day, you multiply that out, that's about 25,550 decisions a year, multiplied out over 70 years, and you arrive at that number, nearly 1.8 million decisions. Now, does that sound stressful and overwhelming to you to think about making that number of decisions? Well, you know, it probably should feel a little bit overwhelming to think of it in those terms because, you know, when you think about what we're actually doing when we decide, we're making, you know, we're taking a big step. Just thinking about the word itself, the word decide, is kind of its origins are Latin. It's sort of two different ideas put together. The D-E, means off, and the side part comes from the Latin word cadere, which means to cut, or to strike, or even to slay. Actually, that same base we find in other words like incision, or pesticide, or homicide, or genocide. Those are all from that same kind of root. When we decide, what we are doing is we are cutting off every option but one. We are killing off every possibility but one. That's what it is to decide. When you're standing in the yogurt cooler section of the grocery store and you're struggling, that's what you're doing. You're killing off choices. But of course, we make lots of decisions that are more significant than, you know, what color socks to wear or you know, what kind of yogurt to pick out at the grocery store. One pastor said this, "We make decisions, and then the decisions we make, make us. What I say, what I think, what I eat, what I read, where I go, who I'm with, what I do, how I work, when I rest. You add up those 1.5 or 1.8-ish million decisions, and what you get is a life. We go through doors, and what we find on the other side is the person we have become. Decisions matter. Now, certainly not all decisions are created equal, but the decisions that we make, they matter. They set the course of our lives. Now, we can go to the scriptures and we can find people there recognizing the power and impact and importance of decisions. So if we go to Joshua was an Israelite leader. He followed the famous leader Moses, and Joshua was the one to lead the people after 40 years of wilderness wanderings into the promised land. And after he had led them in and they were beginning to settle down, he said this to them. He said, "If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Making a choice. He's making a decision. He is cutting off, he is killing off other options in favor of this one and calling the people to do the same. Well, we can fast forward 1,400 years to the first century, and we can find the importance of decisions to the believers in the early church. In Acts chapter 2, we find these words. They devoted themselves, that is, the believers did. They devoted themselves, those are decision words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day. It takes a decision to do something every day. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And so we find these intentional choices. Well, today I want to talk about some key decisions that we can make. We've been in this series over the last several weeks called All In. And what I did in the first couple weeks of the series was I laid out for you some words that we're using to describe what we're trying to do as a church, a mission statement of sorts, every generation growing together as Christ's hands and feet in our world. And I said, this is what we want to do together. It's a mission that I hope we can be all out for, and that every one of us who is part of this church can be all in to be part of. But sometimes when you have a nice statement like that, it can be a little fuzzy. You know, what do we actually do to make it reality? How do we make it concrete? How do we make it more than just a little, a pithy little statement to put at the top of the website or whatever? So I want to talk about four decisions today. And I want to be very clear and concrete. Four decisions that you, some of you will have made these decisions. And so as we talk about them, I hope that you feel a lot of affirmation for those decisions that you have made and continue to make. But some of you, these may be new decisions. And if they are, I hope that you will hear them and hear, my heart for you, that if we are going to be all in together as a church in 2021, then these are decisions that we can all make together and can move forward in together. And I'm glad to have some help in bringing these decisions to you this morning. So Pamela Urban-Avage is going to be sharing in the sermon today. She's going to bring you the second and third decision. So I'll get us started, and then she'll be up, and then I'll wrap us up. Here's the first one. In the form of a question, have you decided to embrace Jesus? Have you decided to embrace Jesus? When we talk about the decisions that I'm going to talk about today, this is really the starting point decision. And I would go so far as to say it is the defining decision of your life. What will you do with Jesus? You know, when we think of Jesus, so often we, in our day, in our culture, we have very, warm, kind of comforting thoughts of Jesus. You know, just such a nice man, good teacher. And yet in his day, people were not neutral about Jesus. They didn't have, necessarily nice, soothing thoughts of Jesus. The prophet Simeon, when he saw Jesus at the age of 8 days old in the temple, said this about him. He said, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." What people think and do with Jesus, Simeon was saying, is in some cases going to lead to the rise, and in some cases going to lead to the fall of people. It's not going to be neutral ground when it comes to what people do with Jesus. And in fact, Jesus frequently pushed people to get off the fence and to make up their minds what they were going to do with him. Were they going to be all in with him and follow him or not? And people who really saw him for what he was typically had one of two reactions. They were either changed by him or they tried to kill him. Little middle ground. Still today, what we do with Jesus is key. And, it's not key in the sense that, there once was this historical person called Jesus who lived, and, what you think of him academically or historically is, makes a difference. I mean, we believe, and there's pretty compelling evidence to believe this, that Jesus died and rose from the dead. and that he is still alive today. And if that is the case, if that really happened, if he did all of that, and if he is alive now, then what you will do with this man who is unique, who is unlike any other in what he's accomplished, really matters. I invite you to consider embracing him, welcoming him into your life, submitting yourself to him and to what he wants for your life. And in the process, finding something wonderful. Pastor John Stott once said this: Jesus Christ, we believe, is the fulfillment of every truly human aspiration. To find him is to find ourselves. To make you the best version of yourself. If you will follow him. And he wants to make it possible for you to live like a Christ-like version of yourself. Well, there's a step that flows out. If you really embrace Jesus and you say, Jesus, I believe that you are alive. I believe that you can even live inside of me by your Spirit, and I want to follow you. I want to be all in with you. If you say that, if you decide that, there is a step that flows from that, a very practical step that flows from that. You know, in the first century, there was a large crowd gathered in Jerusalem for a Jewish festival. And some of the people there, a good number of the people, you know, wanted to embrace Jesus. And they asked Jesus' apostles, his 12 closest followers, what should we do? And Peter, who was kind of the spokesperson of the time, said this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And so I would like to encourage you, as a very concrete decision, if you have embraced Jesus, to consider believers' baptism. Now, I don't know how soon we will do that. That's something we do as a church together, to mark the step of embracing Jesus. And I don't know if you've done that yet, if you've thought about doing that. But I want to encourage you to consider it if you haven't. And I don't know when we'll do it, but we are planning a baptism orientation. Sunday, March 3rd. So that's just Sunday, March 7th, excuse me. So that's just 2 weeks from today. At 9:45 to 10:15 between the services, I want to have an in-person orientation. And I'm also going to do a Zoom session later on for anyone who just wants to learn more of what is believer's baptism? How do we do it? If you've never seen how baptism happens here, then I want to introduce you to what it means and what it looks like. And so I want to give you the chance to participate in that orientation. No commitment implied if you do. But there's a way that you can respond, and I'd like to know just who's coming so I'm prepared for you. So you can go on our website, etownbic.org/next steps. If you have your phone, you can even do this now. Go to Next Steps, and there's a place to indicate your interest in the baptism orientation session. Or you can also go through our church app if you have that. And you go to events, and there's a place under there to indicate your interest. But I'd encourage you, if you haven't considered that step, that's one decision that you can make to say, I've embraced Jesus, and I want to demonstrate that. Jesus himself invited his followers to demonstrate their decision in baptism. Baptism is a way of saying, I choose to follow this man, Jesus. I want to be all in with him. Maybe you need to take that step. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe that's the decision or a decision you need to make this year. I'm going to invite Pamela to talk about the next two decisions.
I'd like to start out by thanking Adam for inviting me to participate in delivering part of this message today. And if we have not yet had a chance to meet, whether in person or online, my name is Pamela Urbanavage, and I have the pleasure of directing our Welcome Ministries here at Elizabethtown BIC. You guys are not as scary with masks on, so that's kind of helpful. So a great next step for many of us as we go all in our relationship with God is to step into community. So my question for you today is, have you decided to embrace friendship? One of the ways we can help each other to experience friendship here at EBIC is to foster community through participation in smaller groups. But why is friendship important? It's because God is all about relationship. He himself exists in relationship as God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And not only does he exist in relationship, he has created each of us for community. In fact, in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 20, God tells us that the litmus test for whether or not we love him is how well we do in our relationships with one another. So from the very beginning of Scripture, we can follow this theme of relationship all the way through. He invites us into relationship with him, and then he instructs us how to have relationships with one another. Although sometimes it can be easy to think that all we need for good relationships is just to be friendly, and being friendly is good, and it's right. However, while it's great to be friendly and great to belong to a very friendly church, there's actually something people want more than attending a friendly church. Does anybody wonder what that is? People actually want friends at church. We don't just want to be around friendly people. We want real friends. In fact, in January of 2020, Cigna Corporation, which is a leader in the healthcare industry, published the results of a survey. And in a survey of over 10,000 adults, they found out that 3 in 5 Americans are lonely. That's really sad. And that was before the pandemic. In an article in Washington Post earlier this year, researchers stated that if you are lonely, then you have an increased risk for heart disease and stroke. I think it just goes to show that God did not mean for us to be lonely and to just be islands isolated on our own. He created us for community. But how does community happen? Community happens as you willingly invite other people into your life. I like how North Point Community Church communicates this in their group setting. They say all you need to start building community is a willingness to show up, to join in, and to be real. That's something we can all do, right? We can do that. So right now, some of you are probably already in smaller groups and you're thinking, hey, you're preaching to the choir here, Pamela. And to you, I would say, that's great. Don't let the challenges of this pandemic stop you from continuing to share your hearts with the people in your groups. But for those of you who are not currently in a group, I hope you're starting to think, maybe this is something I should check out. I do need deeper relationships in my life. And to you, I would say that's great because I have some options for you. We are working on some more group opportunities that will launch later in the fall, but you don't have to wait until then. In Matthew, Jesus tells us that where two or more are gathered in his name, he is right there with us. So just invite someone to join you in community. A lot of us have one of these nifty little devices. And if you have a smartphone, all you have to do, here's a quick suggestion, is go to whatever app purchasing platform you like to use and download the YouVersion Bible app. John mentioned it earlier this morning. But it's free to use, and it has hundreds of Bible studies. And one of the cool features it gives you is you can invite friends to join you in a specific study on the app. It even gives you a little spot where you can share your reflections on the scripture and you can read one another's responses. And if you're really brave, you can even set up a time to call your friends on the phone or video chat and pray together. So there are many ways we can enter into community. Another opportunity is starting here at EBIC in mid-March. There will be a Bible study that will run for about 10 to 12 weeks on a Wednesday night. So keep your eye out for more information on that. The next great step that is probably good for all of us, and I know all of us, many of us already do this, but is have you decided to extend a hand? What does that really mean, extend a hand? Well, when we extend a hand, we serve others in love. We all know there are many places throughout Scripture where we are encouraged to serve others. But I especially love how Peter explains what our service means in 1 Peter chapter 4. In verses 8 through 11, he says that when we use the gifts God has given us to serve others, that we are faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I just love that picture, because to me, what it's saying is when we serve, God's grace takes on a form that we might be able to see with our eyes, that we might be able to touch, that we might be able to taste. And just like Jesus came from heaven down to earth to demonstrate the love of the Father to each of us, we get to, as his representatives, demonstrate the Father's love to everybody else around us. It really boils down to hospitality. But what is hospitality? It's just love. It's just love with skin on. It's just love in action. There are many, many creative ways we can love deeply by caring for each other. But I'd like to suggest a couple of starting places for us. First of all, there's many ways that we can serve on a Sunday morning. Whether you're a musician or a vocalist, a speaker, or someone with mad technical skills, maybe you're someone who loves children or you love to greet others, there are many ways to serve on a Sunday. And for all the things that happen on a Sunday, it starts with people who are doing things throughout the week to get ready. So if you like to pray or plan events, maybe you like to visit people or send cards. Maybe you like to cook or make phone calls. There are many ways we can serve our church family during the week. And not only does God ask us to serve one another, he also asks us to serve with love the people in our communities. We are really lucky in this area. There are so many local organizations that we can partner with right here in Elizabethtown and our surrounding area. Regardless of how we choose to serve, we also have the calling, because of the gospel, just to be good, hospitable neighbors on the streets where we live, and to be men and women of godliness and integrity, whether we're at work or at school or in business. I first heard about EBIC from a dear friend of mine who used to live here in Elizabethtown. And even though she didn't attend EBIC, she volunteered in our English as a second language program. And she would sing EBIC's praises all the time. And she would just talk to me on and on about how community-minded this church is. So when I got to the point where I was looking for a new church, EBIC was the first place I wanted to visit. And we came, and then we never left. We just stayed. I still remember the very first Serve the World Sunday that my family participated in when we first started attending here. First of all, Serve the World Sunday used to always fall on my birthday, so I figured, hey, that was a sign from God, right? Like, it just was, it was just a glowing neon light that this was where we were supposed to be. But more than that, I just was really moved by the way we serve here, and I just wanted to be a part of a church like that. So I'd like to just tell you, whether you're here in person or if you're watching online, that if you are here, then we need you. We need your special combination of gifts, skills, passions, abilities to help all of us to mature in Christ. And we need you to help reach a lost world and hurting world with the gospel. If you're not sure where to start, just don't be afraid to experiment. You can try many different things, and you might even be inspired to start something new. Even if you primarily engage with EBIC online, there are service opportunities for you too. If you would like to learn more about ways you can serve, feel free to send me an email. My email is really simple. It's just welcome@etownbic.org, and I would be happy to connect you with some great opportunities. So thank you for the opportunity to share with you this morning.
Thank you, Pamela. Embrace Jesus. And one expression of that is baptism. Experience friendship. Who do you do life with? Who are you intentionally connecting with in community? Extend a hand. How are you serving? How are we serving each other? And it certainly looks different right now than it would have a year ago, but how are we serving each other? How are we serving our community? How are you serving? These are all decisions that we have to make if we're going to take these steps. And one last one that I want to offer you, decisions to make that make what we do and who we are as a church concrete. And that's this one. Have you decided to enjoy giving? To enjoy giving. Now, you might think, oh, brother, here's another pastor who wants my money. And I don't want your money. I want you to give. And, you know, I obviously have an investment here, and I think this is a great place to give, but you don't have to give here. But I want you to give somewhere. Give to something that inspires you and motivates you. And I want you to do that because there are churches and organizations that are doing great work in the world, and they need your dollars to continue that work. But I want you to give not just for the sake of those organizations who need and will benefit from your generosity. I want you to give for yourself as the giver. Because God does something inside of us through generosity. Now, when I talk about giving to this church, let me be clear. I'm speaking to those of you that consider this place to be home. And when you're in a household, I mean, you enjoy the benefits of being part of that family, part of that household, and you also share in the responsibility for being part of it. And so if this is your church home, then I hope, like Pamela, I hope I'm preaching to the choir. I hope you want to give here. And I hope that you enjoy giving. That's the kind of giving that God most wants. It's the kind of giving that we enjoy. To another church, centuries ago, Pastor Paul wrote these words: "Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." He loves it when people enjoy giving, when they're cheerful about it. And I think he also loves it when we make the intentional decision to give. "Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give," Paul writes. Now, spontaneous giving is good. And there can be lots of opportunities to do that. But you know, when we just give spontaneously, I'm not sure that we always give very generously. Each of you should give what you've decided, what you've planned to give. Not just what you felt like giving, you know, when you heard that heartfelt plea. Not just, you know, whatever happened to be in your wallet when you opened it up. And so specifically to, again, to those of you who call this place, this church, your church home, or if you call another church your church home and you just happen to be listening to this sermon, I would say, if you love your church, plan to share in its mission. Plan to give. Plan to support its work financially. Plan it. You know, when will you do it? How often will you do it? How much will you give? What will you be willing to sacrifice in order to be generous? Those are all important planning kinds of questions. You know, one of the things that I love about giving here at EBIC is that when I give to support this church that I love, I'm not just giving to pay myself, and I'm not just giving to keep lights on. I mean, I'm giving to support ministry and missions around the world. And last week, Daylene, if you were part of our service last week, Daylene took us on kind of a world tour of some places that we have sent giving beyond ourselves to the tune of, you know, nearly $250,000. I love being part of that, of being generous beyond ourselves. If you want to see God work in your life this year, and if you believe that this church is part of how God wants to do that work in you, then these are four decisions, four choices that I encourage you to make. Have you embraced Jesus? Do you continue to embrace Jesus? And then how does that embracing of Jesus work itself out into action in your life? Are you experiencing friendship? Are you making intentional choices that connect you in relationship with others? Are you extending a hand in service to those in need? Are you enjoying giving? The opportunity to be generous, to support God's work around the world with your finances, and to support his work that he does in you when you are generous. Four decisions that you could make this year among, you know, those 1.7 million decisions that you will make over 70 years of life. 3,400 years ago, Joshua made a decision. He said to the Israelites, you choose who you're going to serve, but we are going to serve the Lord. Joshua 24 goes on and tells us that the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us and drove out before us all the nations who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua's decision inspired other decisions. 2,000 years ago, when the church was born, and believers made some of those key decisions to devote themselves to those certain things that Acts 2 describes. It goes on and it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I'd sure love to be part of something like that. Wouldn't you? Would you pray with me? If you haven't taken that first starting point step of embracing Jesus, and you say today, well, I think that's a decision that I need to make. I need to cut off some other options when I think about, you know, how I'm going to live and what my eternity looks like. Maybe you would pray this with me. Jesus, I believe that you are alive today, that you died and you rose again, and Though I have doubts and questions, I believe that the evidence points in that direction. And if that's the case, then I need to listen to what you say. And I need to have you in my life. So I embrace you. I welcome you. I really want to know you in any way that I can. I turn from living just for me to wanting to center my life around you. Lead me. Lord, for each one of us here, we all have decisions to make. By one count, about 70 decisions that we will make today. May some of those decisions ripple out beyond us positively to live out your values and your priorities for our lives. May we, one of those decisions be to submit ourselves as much as we can to you and then see what you will do in us and through us as we do. We look forward to what you do as we allow you to do it in us and through us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.